Evolution.org, episode 694 is coming your way. So, yeah, we have an interview with Evil Brother Aesthetic 23, and we have him joining us, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff in this podcast. It's going to be very entertaining. If you want to check him out on the forum, top right, do a search under member, ASTHETEK 23, and you could search for him. And in his signature, you will see his log that he's doing. And it's a very good log. That's why we invited him on. It's called Training Lifestyle Journal. He started this back in November 2025. So, we're gonna talk of all about this stuff. It's gonna be really, really good stuff in this one. We're also gonna talk about acne and stuff that we don't really talk about on here usually. So it's gonna be really good information. Make sure you smash the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you're telling your friends and family so the algorithms can pick up the podcast and we can grow the podcast even more and help as many people as we can. So, with that said, Mobster, take it away.
We can't do these shows unless we have guests like Aesthetic 23 come onto these shows. So we always make sure that we start the show properly, the podcast properly, by welcoming the guests on and thanking them for taking time out of their day to come on and help us with this show. Steve said on other podcasts we've done that we have real people, not influencers, not famous sports stars or whatever else, but real people from the forums, which no other show like this does, and you get real world information from actual Joes and Janes like yourself. So Aesthetic 23, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. From Steve, from myself, from the forum, from the mobs, the bosses, the moderators, and especially the listeners to this show, thank you again for coming on today.
No, I want to thank y'all. To be honest, this isn't something I'd regularly do, but I appreciate the invite, and it's the least I can do for with the help that y'all have been giving me with the support and the guidance and stuff. So I want to thank Steve and Mobster for actually inviting me to do this podcast and everybody else listening. Thank you.
Awesome,
We're
buddy.
going to talk about, sorry, Steve, we're going to talk about this later in the show, listeners, but one of the things that Aesthetic sent me was this whole thing that he's got from the community and in a way kind of giving back. So what we're doing today is part of that giving back, guys. So yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, so talk about your childhood growing up. You have an interesting accent, so maybe you could touch upon where you grew up, what sports did you play, and then when did you first pick up that weight?
So I was born in Texas. My family moved around a lot, so the majority of my childhood was in Texas, but lived in New York, Chicago, California. So I've moved around quite a bit, but right now I'm in Phoenix. Phoenix is home now for the last 20 years. But as far as sports, I never played any organized sports or anything. I think I was about like 12 or 13 when I got into basketball. I played that a lot through high school, and again, I was never academically involved, so playing sports for a team on in school was never really an option. But I used to play during high school 3 hours a day, every day I would play basketball. So that's what really kept me pretty slim. I never had a six pack or anything. That's never it was never really something that I wanted, but I was pretty fit. I was probably about, I'd say about 150, 155, 5'11". So, but yeah, that's pretty much in high school. I played, and then my early 20s, life happens, you know, so
Yeah.
the
What did you
basketball
what
kind
you
of
what kind of what position were you playing in basketball?
again, it was never organized, so
Oh, okay.
it was just, you know what I mean? Like just going to the park and playing,
Yeah.
pick a
Were you
ball.
more a center or more a point guard shooting?
More of a between point guard and
So in
I'd say like a
between. Okay.
shooting guard.
So you're kind of like a rebounder and post up guy kind of,
Yeah,
Like
and
that.
I had pretty good hops. I got to dunk the ball and stuff. But yeah.
Okay. So that kept you in shape. And then once you got in your 20s, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No worries. Yeah,
Yep.
so once I got into my 20s, so I did put on weight, but I just looked stocky. I didn't look like I was overweight or like a lot of my bad weight does go to the waist, but it kind of hides under shirts and stuff, you know what I mean? So it wasn't really like I was overweight. That was pretty much for the next 10 years or whatever. I went through phases with gaining and losing, but not really from working out, just from work or just eating less, or and not really just watching my diet, just randomly. I don't know. It was weird. But I think it was my early 30s. That's when I got into working out. I don't know if you want to get into that one or if we.
Yeah, what got you into working out at such a late age? There was a friend that introduced you to it, or was it something else?
It was pretty funny though. I hated working out. Like my exercise was playing basketball. So once that was out, like I had no interest. I did want to, like I thought about doing it, but I never physically did it. You know what I mean? Like I just could never get into it.
Just to interrupt, you actually said, and this might be something worth talking about, you always wanted to work out, but hated the gym. What do you think it was about the gym that you didn't like, that you wanted to work out, but you didn't want to go? Maybe it was organized, maybe it was because there was people there. What was the vibe that stopped you going?
I don't know what it was mentally. I think it was just the repetition of it, or like just I didn't have the mindset to actually do it. You know what I mean? Like wanting to do it, but not actually physically doing it. So it was just like an afterthought, like, oh, I'm going to work out and just never physically doing it.
You got something here, which I kind of liked. And I actually made a mention in my own notes for the other show. You say here, my son actually made it click for me. So talk about what it was that your son did that made you go, do you know what? This isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. What was it about him that made you go, yeah, do you know what? I fucking like this, actually.
Yeah, so it was my early 30s. And one of those times I kind of hyped myself up, like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. I went to the gym and I got a membership. I paid 3 years in advance, right? So I got my LA Fitness membership. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it this time. Sure enough, I went a couple times and just left it. Towards the end of that, it was like 6 months left on my membership. One day, randomly, my son, he was like 5 years old. We used to do homework right here in the kitchen. So I have a countertop, and then he would sit on the stool. And one day he was doing a math problem. And then after the math problem, he's like, okay, we're going to do sit-ups. So like he, with his knees holding the counter, like he started doing 10 sit-ups. And then he told me, okay, it's your turn. And then we did push-ups. And then like we just did little exercises, you know what I mean? And then after that, like the next day I went to the gym, and I just, from then, I don't know, it's just something happened where I was like, okay, I need to start working out.
Yeah. Did you think that you wanted to be an example to him?
I think it was. I think it was him pushing me and me doing it to show him that, like, yeah, let's do this.
Steve, I've mentioned on a previous show, there was a seen this video. You might have seen this yourself, aesthetic. There's a bloke in the kitchen, and his son is probably the same age, and he says, where are you going there, daddy? He says, I'm going to the gym. And the little kid looks up at him, and it's all on camera. They've got a camera in the kitchen to keep an eye on the kids. And the kid says, you're like a Superman. And the bloke puts his hand on his face, and he's like, that's really enough. You don't even have to say that. That vibe, that thing that we can get from our kids that suddenly motivates and inspires us. So that's awesome. I'm glad that, listen, for the listeners, there are literally photographs, and his son is now 14, of them training together and doing a double bicep. So this is the kind of shit that we like. This is the thing that makes you want to go, because your son has inspired you to kick ass and not give yourself any excuses. That's awesome, Steve.
Yep. And your son was, you said, 5 years old at the time, and you were how old? You were in the 30s?
He was about 5 years old. This was about 9 years ago. So I was about 31.
And is he still training today with you?
Actually, I was 33. But we train randomly. It's not as structured as I'd like. But at the same time, I do want him to do it, but I don't want to force him. Like, I have a pretty, my form, my, I don't know how you say it in English. Hold on. My my character is, I have a strong character. So like when we work out, like sometimes I want him to do, like I try to correct him, and like he can take it the wrong way sometimes, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to ease him into the gym. He works out with his mom as well on the weeks, because we share custody, 50-50 custody. So with his mom, he goes to the gym as well. So he's slowly getting there. It's a process, but yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Kids, they always want to copy what their parents do. If the parents do drugs, the kids want to do drugs. If the parents work out, the kids want to work out. If the parents drink, the kids want to drink. So it's a really good example for sure. That's what we talk about a lot on this podcast for sure. Mob Surge, you want to mention something?
I was just going to say, I can understand exactly what you were saying about the forceful personality thing. I've trained many, many, many years ago with my then partner, girlfriend that I lived with. And we did maybe two training sessions together. And I think I pushed her to the point of failure, just sweat dripping off her face, etc. And that's because that's my vibe, but that's not your son's vibe. It's your vibe. So you've done exactly the right thing. You realize that if you trained him the way that you train, that's what you'd want from your son, which is great. But then he would hate it because he wants to love his dad, and you want him to love training like you do. So you've done exactly the right thing. You let him have fun when he's there. You encourage him. You've taken those pictures. It's the things that we do as we grow up, and we understand our own motivation, but not everybody ticks like we do. Not everybody thinks like we do. So I'm glad that you realized that you could be that forceful, serious, let's fucking get our shit done. And you just ease back a little bit to keep him encouraged, to keep him happy. And hopefully he learns to love it and become as serious as you over time. So that's a really, again, listeners, you can learn from this.
Yeah,
sometimes so, pushy parents or whatever. Yeah,
yes sir. So you made a nice transformation since November till now. We're doing this podcast in mid-April, so you made a nice transformation. Definitely leaned out. You started out at 5'11 222 pounds, and now you know touch upon the PEDs that you put together when you started out this cycle. You were debating doing Retta. You were on 200 milligrams a week of gear prescribed by a clinic. So what's changed? What did you do in terms of the tools and the PEDs to kind of help you, you know, kind of get everything together?
Yeah, so I kind of came in dark. I didn't know what I was doing, you know? So I want to shout out to Lev Butler. Like, he's the main person that's really helped me put it together. I did start the Retta. The Retta did help. Currently I'm on three mg's a week of Retta. The TRT that I tried to do a couple years ago through a TRT clinic, it just didn't pan out. I broke out with acne really bad within the first 2 months of using it. So I just dropped it cold turkey. I was like, no, I don't want to be that guy with the acne, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. I just dropped it. Luckily my body recovered. I didn't do PCT or anything, and I was normal after that.
Let me ask you a question, because Steve's touched upon this and you've just touched upon it yourself. So with Lev's guidance, because I actually wrote down that you cycle and supports, supplements, etc., have been repeatedly changed. So as you said, you're coming dark, meaning it was kind of a little bit messed up, Steve. And with the community's guidance, he's tidied all that stuff up. He's kind of structured it better. What he's doing for him now works. I agree 100%. His waist has come down. He's kind of transformed his look. Something that we want to touch upon a little bit as part of that, and we will talk more about your cycle. Very common. We talked about this in a pre-show. How did you, apart from stopping, I know you've managed it since, talk about managing your acne, and we will go back to the PEDs in a moment.
Yeah, so the acne thing was really big for me, because I've never had acne. Subtle breakouts, you know what I mean? Nothing too crazy, but I'm not known for having acne. So once that happened, I just got off, right? So this time around, because my son was kind of getting a little bit of acne as well. So I got him this bar of soap. It's called Neutrogena Acne, Acne Soap, facial acne, or I think I have a picture of it on the thing. So I started to do, because I had read up a lot about it, saying, oh, like washing your skin and the sheets and wearing shirts, like all kinds of different advice just randomly on the internet, because I tried to research a lot of it. So I just started using that soap three times a day in the morning before work, when I got home from work, before working out, and then at night before bed. So I'd use the soap all on my body, scrub it down really, really good. And like that happened to really, really help me out with the acne. Now I went to Japan, early March, and I forgot the soap. So for 2 weeks I didn't use it. And when I got back, I started getting subtle breakouts. And right now I have like spots here and there. It's not bad, but like it's been under control. But I think if I would have maintained it during those 2 weeks, I think I wouldn't have had the breakouts that I'm having right now. But it definitely did help me. And I mean, it might help somebody else, and I hope it does, but it did help me.
Something I made a note of here, and you've actually, I'll read this. You said TRT a couple of years ago, back knee, et cetera, which we just talked about. And at the time you was doing 200 milligrams. You've actually started this time around when you've been on TRT at less, which is a thing in and of itself, which is help. And you mentioned using Neutrogena soap. Your current stack and cycle, and you can comment on this. So this is the most up-to-date that I've got. This is what you're doing at the minute. Test cypionate, 315 milligrams a week. EQ, 60 milligrams a week. Tren, 75 milligrams a week. Anavar, 50 milligrams pre-workout. And GW, 1516, 20 milligrams daily. So is that still the same as when we made this notes, which will be a week or so ago? Yep. Have you tweaked it differently? How are you getting on with this particular cycle as well?
Yeah, so I incorporated so yeah, that is correct. The 315 I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 105 milligrams, and then the EQ I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 20 milligrams, and then right now I'm doing Tren Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 25 milligrams. So yeah, that's all correct. I got blood work done the first week of March, and my estradiol was a little high, so that's why I threw in the EQ. And at the end of this month, or beginning of May, I'm gonna get new bloods and make adjustments once I see what the numbers are looking like.
Now, we're definitely seeing a transformation in terms of your pictures. How do you feel using these products? How do you feel using these dosages? And again, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday frequency, which arguably is almost microdosing, Steve. So your thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, so I feel great. But to be honest, a lot of people feel different. I hear it's like a lot of things. I've never done marijuana because I don't feel the effect that people feel. You know what I mean? Like they say, oh my God, I feel this, or I've done it a couple times and I never felt that. So the same thing with the steroids, with, I don't feel that extra boost or anything. I'm pretty level regardless. My strength, I don't feel like it's gone up crazy. Like it's been steady, but I don't know. I don't feel that extra, like some people feel like they're, yes, they tell, yes, me like, oh my God, I feel like I'm Superman on this. Like, you know what I mean? Yes. I've yet to feel that kind of effect from it, to be honest.
I'm the same as you. I think, especially even regards to the recreationals, on the rare occasion, same thing as you in terms of people say it's transformative. And I've used that word on this show. People go on TRT and it's like back to the 20 years of age, and you go, okay, I feel a little bit. And I do notice a difference between on and off cycle, but I don't get quite the sort of turbo crazy Uberman boost. So you're right. I think you're similar to me in that regard. But at the same time, as I said already, we've seen your pictures when your waist has come down. We know that you've got tighter. So even though you might not feel like Superman, you've still got positivity. You've still got, these are the photographs and physical evidence that this is what's working, both for the diet and the gym, and with a little bit of an assistance of the PEDs. Something you said, moving on slightly, and I wrote down a phrase here in my notes in front of me as we were talking earlier, back on track. Very common for listeners a few years ago, lots of people struggling with COVID, getting back into the gym, getting back onto the routine. And pre coming onto evolutionary, I think you said there was a period of time where you struggled to get back into the groove. You struggled because you'd been to the gym, you'd done what you talked about earlier in the show. Talk a little bit about getting back into the structure and a program and being able to get back into the gym, because it's very common for listeners again.
Yeah, so right before COVID, I think I was hitting my best stride. You know what I mean? My diet was on point. I was meal prepping, working out. Like, and it's crazy. You know how people talk about the trend sweats and stuff like that? Without taking anything, I was getting that effect. Like at home at night, like I was like drenched in sweat. So when people tell me about when I read about the trend sweat, I'm like, damn, like I was getting that effect without even having to take anything. You know what I mean? But so COVID comes around, they shut down the gyms. I end up getting a home gym, like a whole setup. It was a Nautilus, I don't know what, but it had for the bench, it had like a single table, it had like the low row. So with that and some dumbbells and a curl bar and a bench, I was able to get through COVID. What set me back was the diet, right? So since I'm not meal prepping or anything no more, like I was still hitting workouts good. Like I still made progress, but I went on a dirty bulk. So like it wasn't as beneficial as it would have been if I would have kept on with the meal prep.
Yeah. The meal prep, you said I was going to say the meal prep in your log looks fantastic.
Yes.
And you can see, that's huge.
You asked about his background earlier, Steve, and his cultural background is Mexican. So he said he couldn't count the calories when his mum was cooking the food. But I actually made the same note as you. I said his meal prep food looks fucking stunning. It really does look super healthy. And again, listeners, how many times have we said on these shows, the guys at Meal Prep and Log get the best fucking results. Yeah. The ones that photograph their food, which you don't have to do, it makes you be clean. It makes you stay on point.
Well, I mean, I want to say too on that, a good example. Yeah. Mexican food isn't bad for you. It's just if you go to Taco Bell or go to a restaurant and eat, you know, Mexican food smothered in refined oils, then it's bad for you. But if you eat good quality.
I think it's one of those things, Steve, that we all struggle with. If we go to our parents and they put food in front of us, it ain't going to be what we cook. We can't say no.
Yeah, you can't say no. You definitely can't say no. And then my mom actually stayed an extra week too. So that didn't really help. So you couple that with, I went to Japan. So since early March, like I've been struggling to get back on a proper diet. I've still made progress, but it's, I know it would have been more progress if I would have kept it clean. But I mean, sometimes you need a break.
Something you said earlier on about the trend sweats. I was thinking, Steve, because he was in training groove, his diet groove, you was probably people that get some peak performance, metabolize and process. Your body becomes incredibly efficient. And I've seen this in top bodybuilders in the last couple of weeks of prep. That's what it sounded like for you. So you were sweating at night time. You was eating clean. Your body was probably a burning furnace in terms of metabolizing food and training. So you get back into that and the progress you've made recently would be even more outstanding. Talk a little bit about that and then we'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, so training felt great. Strength-wise, everything like, I was a lot thinner then too. Like I think I was about 185 back then. So fat wise, like I was probably at my lowest body weight, body fat. Like I said, I was in a pretty good groove and it got a little difficult for me to maintain that because my routine was skewed and, not an excuse, but yeah, I didn't keep up with it how I should have.
So what's your plans in the future? I was going to ask, what's your plans in the future in terms of PED use, in terms of what you want to accomplish? Do you want to one day compete? Or you're like, no, I just want to be a gym rat and be as strong and big and lean as possible? Or do you want to focus on more on cutting? What is your goals over the next couple of years?
Yeah. So, I mean, everything changes, right? I definitely don't see myself competing. I've never really thought it, like it's never been a thought, to be honest. I just want to be the best version of myself. Like, I've always struggled with the weight around the waist. Like I mentioned earlier, like I've never had a six pack in my life ever. You know what I mean? So I don't know how good of a six pack I can get, but like, if I can just trim that last layer of fat around the waist and just have a V taper like that, that's one of my main goals. Yeah, put on size or whatever, but I don't want to be too big either. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm size wise, like a little bit more of a couple, like maybe five pounds more of muscle and trim down the fat. And I think I'd be good.
Yeah. You don't have a problem with size. You just want to get leaner. Are you planning on keeping the Retta as a long-term thing, or are you going to cycle it?
Yeah. So, I'm on 3 right now, 3 milligrams. I don't have experience with it, but I'm thinking, once I get to a pretty good weight, cause I know it helps with bloods, like, and it helps with other stuff in the background. So I might drop it to one milligram, a week, and then see how that treats me. But yeah, I do plan on keeping it going.
What about, sorry, for this is more again outside of yourself, people seeing you get into shape, they've known you from before, they see your shape coming down, like we have on the forums. We sometimes ask guests like yourself, how do other people, do you have co-workers, family members, when your mum come over, did she notice you got into shape? How people be responding to aesthetic, changing his look, getting more functional? How does that work for you?
Yeah, so my mom actually, she's not like, oh, like I'm like, not that she felt bad, but she was like kind of like insinuating like, oh, like I'm making you cheat on your diet, like, because she knows like I'm trying to keep it clean, you know what I mean? But she's not like, oh, I didn't know, like I didn't ask you because I thought you were gonna tell me no. I'm like, no, I'm never gonna tell you no, you know what I mean? Like, to make food, like crepes and like all the food that she, yeah, like I grew up on, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna tell you no.
I mean,
like,
she can make that stuff, she just needs to use different ingredients. Like, if you're making crepes, you can't use it from like the cheap flour bread. You got to use a good quality, like maybe coconut flour bread, you know, stuff like that. So she just has to make adjustments. Like my mom growing up, she used to drench all our food in vegetable oil, like gallons and gallons of vegetable oil. And a lot of people do that. And that's not good. So if all your mom has to do is just make adjustments, it's not nothing wrong with eating Mexican food.
I'm also thinking, Steve, sometimes when we had a guest on the other day, literally people look at you in the supermarket a different way because they've seen you in the supermarket before 30 pounds heavier or with 2 or 3 inches more on your waist. And sometimes it's nice. This is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
And your mum included. Your mum, I've had this when my biggest or nearly my biggest, Steve, my mum complained she couldn't get her arms around me to give me a hug. So it's one of those silly little things that people respond to you looking a different way. You've even got co-workers at some offices, Steve, they don't like you being on a diet because it makes them feel bad. So I'm interested, just before we move on again, how people have responded to your journey outside of evolutionary. People said, well done. Have they commented on you looking good? Just that vibe.
Yeah. So, I've gotten comments, here and there, but they've also seen me go up and down. You know what I mean? Like I've been in between at, like, I don't know. I've gone through phases multiple times. This last time around, they're all like, oh dang, like it's, you're really putting it together this time. You know what I mean? Like it's coming together, but yeah, I do get compliments all the time, especially in the gym too. Like I'm like, they see the difference, especially within the last couple months where the waist has really, really come down.
Something that you said in your notes to me in response to a couple of questions that I was asking, and Steve always likes to ask this, so I'll start it this way as well. He says, how did you come across evolutionary? And then talk about, and I've got your comments here, the support, the information you mentioned, Lev, earlier on. So talk about coming to evolutionary, arriving, finding us, and the support you've had from the community.
Yeah, so the steroids, I've always kind of like did subtle background, you know what I mean, watched videos, clicked on links for years, you know what I mean? Like it was always like I was intrigued by it, like what if, but I never did it, you know what I mean? Like a part of me was like, nah, I want to do it the best I can, natural, you know what I mean? So while clicking on multiple links, like I don't know, it just, one of them ended up being the forum, the Evo forum, and just reading the posts and reading the replies and stuff like that, like it was really encouraging to me, and it was like seeing the positivity and support that was given, you know what I mean? Like it the guidance and everything, like I was like, oh dang. So I signed up and made a post, and then the rest is history, because I felt like I was at home, like I felt like I was going to get clarity on a lot of things that I didn't know. There's so much knowledge out there, you know what I mean? And it really helped me put together and get me to where I'm at right now. So I really do appreciate it.
Do you notice Evo's very experienced? Like the knowledge is much more experienced than what you would find on other forums and like on social media and stuff. Was that one of the things you noticed, or was it something else that could have stood out?
So I mean, mainly just the responses and stuff like that. So I know I did go on through other forums and stuff like that, but nothing really stood out like how it stood out here in Evo. I don't know exactly what it was. It was just luck, to be honest. Like so many websites out there, you know what I mean? And I ended up finding Evo. Like sometimes you need a little luck to get you to the right place.
Not even just be, it's in tune with your own thinking, and therefore, so I can talk here. I'm not going to get bullshit from other places. Steve likes to ask this question, and I'll ask again. Is there any other logs or members of the forum that catch your eye that you want to read or you want to mention on this show? Just stuff that you occasionally read for inspiration or motivation or just helpful tips that you've picked up on yourself as well, apart from the log that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, so there's a couple of logs that I do that I'm really bad with names. Like I'm really forgetful and like screen names and stuff like that. But I click on logs regularly, you know what I mean? And I go through them and I see the progress and I see what they're doing. And like, I get ideas of how to move forward, like maybe ideas for how to stack things later or whatever. But as far as like specific names, like, trying to think. I'm drawing blank, to be honest. I can't really think of any names.
With Lev earlier on, you said, I think what Lev did for you was trying to light and clear things up and help things become more regimented and tidy, so that you don't have to do this thing and make a mistake. You don't have to do that thing and make a mistake. You're kind of doing the right thing. Let's get you in to do this. Let's get this, see what happens when you do that. So that's one of the things that comes out of it. As we come towards the end of the show, and know that you've actually got one of these ready and I'm looking at it in front of me, I asked you to come up with a tip, a little bit of guidance for the listeners. And I've got written down what you said. I can read it to you, but if you can remember it, can you remember it or shall I read it?
I think I remember it. For me, it took me a while in the beginning, because I think being competitive, like you go into the gym and you try to compare yourself to other people, you know what I mean? You try to do what other people are doing and you're trying to push the weight that other people are doing. For me, like once I stopped comparing myself to other people is when I started seeing my own progress. Like my competition is myself. So that's probably the main one for me is don't compare your progress or your lack of progress. So, 'cause sometimes it feels like you're not moving forward, but like your body's still making changes without you actually physically seeing them. So just stick to it and keep grinding.
Yeah, it's kind of different.
Something else. Sorry, Steve, just to finish, I mean, it's exactly what you said, but you also added, we're all different and have to find what works best for you. And I think aesthetic, it makes exactly the right point there. It's very easy to look at other people and see what they're doing and measure ourselves against other people. But at the end of the day, it's you going to do it, you lifting the weights. Steve, again, if you want to make a comment before we finish.
Yeah, and then I want to get, I'll see, maybe you could throw a tip out there, because it's been a while. I don't know if we've ever even discussed this, but you mentioned earlier you share 50-50 custody of your kid. What are some advice that dads out there who have to go through a divorce and they end up getting that news while you're getting your kid 50-50? What is some advice out there for people going through that period? And what is some advice for the aftermath to make things easier on the kid and make things easier on your ex-spouse and make things easier on your family when it comes to 50-50 situation? What are some mistakes maybe that you could wish you could go back and change? What are some things that you'd recommend people do in the future?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, but I mean, I know from in my experience, we were both pretty immature in a sense, you know what I mean? So it didn't work and it wasn't, like right now we co-parent pretty good. It took a while for us to get here, but understanding somebody else, like their perspective, like I try to put my feet in other people's shoes. So just trying to understand the other's point of view. And sometimes I don't like it or whatever, but I still try to see both sides and try to keep it cordial. And then the main thing was, well, she knew, like, but fight, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people say, like, oh, I don't want to go to court because they're gonna rule with the girl, like, with the woman, you know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna be a fair shake, and that's not true. Like, you fight for your time, you show that you're gonna be there, and the judge will give you what you're asking for, especially if you're not, like, a danger to the child or anything, you know what I mean? So just fighting for what you really want, and you'll get it.
Okay, that's a good tip.
I think, honestly, Steve, sometimes, because I've never had custody of my daughter, sometimes I'd have to remind my daughter when she was having a stressful day with her mum, and it's not always perfect, and the same thing applies to me, of course. You know, your mum puts food on the table and clothes on your back and a roof over your head, so this is when she was a teenager, and you have to remind teenagers sometimes what the fuck's going on in the world. So, yeah, this one of the things that we mature with, and it's a shame that we can't do that during a relationship. It's weird that we have to do it after the relationship, and especially as is the case here, this is more for the listeners' benefit, because I know aesthetic all it gets is, it ain't about us anymore. It's about the child, and we have a responsibility, so we absolutely have to do those things to the best of our ability. None of us are perfect. We all learn as we go along. It's an aesthetic. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. We'd love to do more time, but we've got another show straight after this. So again, thank you for taking time out of your day to share your journey, share your background, and giving a couple of very useful life lessons for the benefit of the listeners. As always, please note, we are not doctors and your opinions are ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.